Thank you. It's good to have my daughter home for a little bit, and she flew in on Friday. So it's good to have all the kids home. It's a great, great blessing. Well, let's take the Word of God this morning. We will go to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We're so thankful that you're here today. And it has been a full week, a good week. This past Thursday, I did a funeral during the day for someone that did not attend here, did not really know. It was a large funeral. We had folks saved at the funeral, so I'm grateful for that. We had our last Bible club about a week ago, had 8 saved there, and we had over 300 people in this auditorium Thursday night for our Victory Christian School Christmas program. So that was a blessing, and the Word of God was given. So what a great, great comfort. I am sure that at your house, you probably have a Christmas tree up, and I'm sure that you have gifts under the tree. I'm sure that probably on Tuesday and Wednesday, you're going to be exchanging gifts, giving gifts. I don't know if you heard about the lady. She was a grandmother, and she was just pretty exhausted about the thought of trying to buy her kids and grandkids a gift. So she decided that she would just get cards together, and she would put something nice in the card as far as writing something in there, and at the very end, she would put, buy your own gift, and she would include a check in that card. I mean, that sounds pretty good to me. Well, the lady worked on all of that, and after Christmas, she recognized that she had left out all the checks. So can you imagine getting a card from Grandma, buy your own gift, all right? Well, I am thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ does not tell us to earn the gift of salvation, because it's not a gift. In fact, Christmas time is about presents. It's about gifts. We understand that in honor of God's Christmas gift to you and me. But within the gift of Jesus Christ coming to this earth, there are lots of gifts within that. The gift of peace, the gift of God's purpose and direction in our life, the gift of His presence. He is Emmanuel, God with us. But this morning, I want to preach to you about the gift, God's gift of reconciliation. Now you say, now preacher, I don't hear that word much. What does the word reconciliation mean? Well, the word reconcile implies that there is enmity. There is a wall of separation. And in our case, thinking of Jesus Christ, we come into this world as sinners separated from God. Folks, do you know that if you're here without Jesus Christ, you're under the wrath of God, you are separated from God, you're under the condemnation of your own sin debt. But aren't you thankful to know that God was not willing to leave us in that state of condemnation? He gave us the gift of reconciliation. The ideal of reconciliation is that God brings us from a state of enmity to a state of fellowship. That's what the very word of reconciliation means. It means that there is something between me and God. But because God gave His Son Jesus and He was born in Bethlehem, Jesus came to reconcile us back into fellowship with God. Do you understand that when God created the heavens and the earth, then God created man, Adam, and God created Eve? Do you know in the Garden of Eden, they lived in perfect harmony with their Creator, God? Can you imagine what it was like in the Garden of Eden? It was perfect. I mean, it was a wonderful place of perfection. And by the way, the Bible says that they walked with God in the cool of the day. You talk about, that's what heaven is going to be like, by the way. They were with the Lord every day. They were in obedience to Him. But then, we know the story. God had placed within the garden the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God says, in the day that you take of that fruit, in that day ye shall surely die. Now what was going to die? Their perfect unity with God. In the moment that Adam and Eve took of that forbidden fruit, can I tell you what happened? They died spiritually speaking. there now was enmity with God. And guess what Adam and Eve did? They hid from God. They ran from God. They were afraid. Now the guilt of sin and shame was upon them. But aren't you thankful to know this morning that God, listen, I'll tell you what God could have done. He could have left Adam and Eve in the rebellious state, their state of condemnation, because that is what they deserved. But you know what God did? God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to reconcile, to bring us back into fellowship with God. Well, let's come to Ephesians chapter 2, because we're going to begin in verse number 8, and we're going to find this word often here about reconciliation. Ephesians chapter 2, let's begin in verse number 8. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise." Look what it says here. "Having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Now would you go back and look in verse number 13 once again. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." And then verse 14, "He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." Brethren, that is reconciliation. Today, I want to preach to you God's gift of reconciliation. Let's begin a word of prayer. Would you join me now? Father in heaven, I know that I cannot preach without Your help. And I pray in these next few moments that You will speak through me, Lord, just as Your vessel. And I pray You'll do a work that I could never do. Lord, I pray You'll do a work of salvation this morning, a work of repentance in our heart. But Lord, I pray in the hearts of those of us who know You, may we leave with gratitude. And may we live, Lord, our life continuing this work of reconciliation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I believe all of us would agree that much of history is about war and conflict. In fact, did you know that from what we know, the last 5,500 years, there have been nearly 15,000 wars, and those are the only ones that we know about. Currently, in our world today, in the Middle East and North Africa, there are 45 armed conflicts. Right now in Africa, there are 35 armed conflicts. In Asia, there are 19 armed conflicts. In Europe, there are 7 armed conflicts. Brethren, until Jesus, who is the true Prince of Peace, comes to this earth, there will never be peace on earth. You see, we need to understand something. We live in a world of contention, a world of conflict. In fact, us human beings, We don't really do good at getting along with one another. We do much better at disagreeing and fighting and feuding. That's what we do good at. Because that has been the case throughout history, because men are sinners and men are separated from God. You have to understand, Jesus Christ came for the very purpose of reconciliation. In fact, as we think about God's gift of reconciliation, I want you to remember three things this morning that I believe can help us. Number one, reconciliation begins with God. Do you know that God is the one who initiates reconciliation? Do you know that man did not seek after God? God sought after man. Going back to what I told you about in the Garden of Eden, you remember when Adam and Eve sinned against God? They hid from God. They ran from God. That's what man does. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Guess what man does? Man is a sinner. We all are sinners here today, and we turn to our own way. I think we understand today that we are all by nature sinful and selfish. By nature we are. By the way, the Bible tells us that in the last days men shall be lovers of their own selves. Listen, we love ourselves. In fact, do you know what God told us as husbands? We are to love our wives as we love our own selves. You know why? Because we understand what it means to love ourselves. God says that's how you're to love your wife. But as we think about, we are coming into this world separated from God. There is a wall, a partition between us and God initiated the reconciliation. I don't really understand why God would want to reconcile with you and me. Folks, do you know what? There's nothing really great about us for God to look at us and say, you know, I kind of like those people, so I think I'm going to reconcile with them. No. There was nothing that God saw in us to cause Him to want to reconcile with us, but He is love, and God so loved the world that He gave. God said, I love this world, and I love every person in this world. And by the way, you are created so that God could love you. I love that thought today. God didn't create anybody by accident. No one is an accident. You are created in the very image of God. That means that you can know God and you can have fellowship with God. But without God's gift to this world, without Jesus coming into this world to be born of a virgin, without Him coming to die on the cross and rising again the third day, there would be no reconciliation with God. God began the work. He initiated the work. Listen, Jesus said He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Folks, we didn't seek after God. God sought after us. Listen, that's what a gift is all about. You know, when we think about God's gift, look back in Ephesians chapter 2, and I want you to notice some things. Look back in Ephesians 2 verse number 8. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." And look at this phrase, "and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Who began reconciliation? God did. It was not of us. I did not seek after God. God sought us first. Look back in verse number 10. It says, "For we are His workmanship," which, and the Bible tells us, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Look at this phrase, "which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Here's what's amazing. Before God created this world, you know what Jesus Christ was? He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Is that not amazing? God knew that man would rebel. And God, in His love for man, already paved the way for reconciliation between God and man. Who is that man? Jesus Christ. Listen, that's the only way that you and I can be reconciled to God. Listen, this fellowship, this unity with our God that God created us for, there is something within our heart that desires to be close to our Creator. God put it there, and Jesus is the one who reconciles us to God. Oh, what a miracle. In fact, do you know that a few hundred years ago, a popular ideal was this, that if we could just get the world educated, all of the wars around the world would vanish. Has that happened? No. In fact, folks, can I tell you something? Without a transformation of the heart that is only through God, education simply allows us to think of more sophisticated ways to kill one another. That's really how it is. In fact, do you know, even today, some of the most brilliant people are in prison today. They are highly educated. An educated mind does not naturally produce a peaceful heart. Education is good and wonderful in its place, but it does not bring reconciliation to God. And can I tell you, the greatest need of anyone is reconciliation. Now, you may be a child of God here this morning, and that's wonderful. But maybe in a sense, you are away from God. Can I tell you what you need? You need to be reconciled. You say, well, Pastor, I know Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I'm reconciled to God. That's exactly right. But we know that even as Christians, we get out of fellowship with God. And you know what God does? He continually seeks after us, not to save us from the penalty of our sin, but to bring us back into fellowship with Him. God initiate, listen, restoration always begins with God. Number two, reconciliation brings us peace. Now, here's something amazing. Look back in Ephesians chapter 2, and I want you to look in verse number 12, and I want us to notice this. Reconciliation always begins with God, but it brings us peace. Look in verse number 12. That at that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our, what's the next word? Peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, look at this, says, making peace. Can I tell you what reconciliation does? It brings peace. Now let's think about a husband and wife. You know that there's times often when a husband and wife are not in fellowship with one another and there is a wall between them. You know what happens when they reconcile? There's peace. There's peace. Think about a child that maybe is not in fellowship with their parents. Can I tell you, there's something between them. There's a wall, if we want to use this word, partition between them. When there's reconciliation, guess what? There's peace. Brethren, we long for peace. In fact, the shepherds, when they came, what did they say? They said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward man. Now you may say today, well, Pastor, wait a minute, there's not peace on earth today. But brethren, you have to understand, Jesus did not come to bring worldwide peace. He is the peace. And we only have peace when we know Jesus Christ and we are reconciled to God. There's something amazing about that. Can I tell you what reconciliation is? It's the restoration of peace. It might be the peace with God or the peace with other people. In fact, I believe there's three types of peace. There is the peace with God. That's through Jesus Christ. But there's the peace of God, that's for the child of God, as they are trusting the Lord and depending upon the Lord and resting in His sovereignty and His wisdom. God gives them peace, but then there's the peace with others. You see, reconciliation brings us peace. By the way, today I think we understand that there are conflicts everywhere, is there not? There's conflicts in families. There's conflicts in marriages. There are conflicts in offices, in neighborhoods, and conflicts even in churches. We deal with conflicts, and the sad result of conflict in this world is it leaves behind a lot of hurt and a lot of broken hearts. In fact, you think about in families. There's a lot of the debris of divided homes and damaged children and discarded friendships and destroyed relationships. Why? Because of conflict. You know, we've had tornadoes come through, and thankfully the Lord has spared our church often and your homes. And but you know what happens when a tornado comes through? It leaves a lot of debris everywhere. In fact, when it came through where, of course, near Indian Lake, I mean, I remember going up there with one of our deacons and taking some supplies to people. It was just almost mind-boggling to look, and where a house was, it's gone. There's nothing there. All that's left is debris. And that's exactly what happens in conflict and contention. It leaves behind a lot of destruction. That's why Jesus came. Folks, Jesus came to bring reconciliation between us and God and between us and one another. Listen, He is in the business of reconciling us to God and to one another. In fact, let's think about peace just for a moment. The reality is there will never be peace in the world until there's peace in the nations. And there'll never be peace in the nations until there's peace in our communities. And there'll never be peace in our communities until there's peace in our families. And there'll never be peace in our families until there's peace in individual lives. And let's be honest, there'll never be peace until that person has come to know the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the giver of peace. Listen, we long for peace. And let's talk first about this peace with God. Do you understand that God created us for His purpose? But what do we do? I read it earlier or quoted it, that we go our own way. We are separated from God. And what does man do? Man's good at rebelling against God and going his own way. And there is no way that we can have peace with God except we turn to Jesus Christ as our Savior. And when we trust Jesus Christ, guess what He does? He gives us that restoration, that reconciliation with God, and we have peace. I don't know about you, but when I came to know the Lord as my Savior, you know what I remember most? Peace. How many would be honest today when you got saved? God gave you peace. Would you lift your hand and hold it high? There's something special about that. You can't buy it. You don't earn it. It's from God. He gives you peace. By the way, there have been trials that maybe you and I have gone through, even as a Christian. And you know what God does in the midst of trials if we turn to Him and not away from Him? Can I tell you what He gives us? Peace. He gives us peace that He is at work and that He is doing the work in our heart. Friend, there is this built-in longing inside each of us to be reconciled to our Creator. There's something there that God put there. And only as we turn to Jesus Christ will He give us that peace of God. And folks, the good news of Christmas is that Jesus Christ came to be that bridge of reconciliation between us and God. In fact, the Bible says there's only one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. There's only one way to be reconciled to God. That is through Jesus Christ. By the way, how can a sinner, an imperfect person, be reconciled to a perfect Creator? It's not by a matter of compromise or bargaining or negotiating with God. That's not how it works. This peace comes from when we surrender and we recognize that we are sinners in need of a Savior, and we recognize that Jesus is the only way to heaven. You know what? When that happens, God gives us that peace with God. But the second peace is the peace of God. And by the way, what robs you of your peace? How many said times in your life when you just didn't have the peace of God? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? We've all had that, including me. You know what I think sometimes robs us of our peace? I think first, uncontrollable circumstances. What about illness? What about death? What about things that we have no control over? And sometimes that robs us of our peace. What about unchangeable people? People that are just stuck in their selfishness and they're stuck in their sinful ways, and that robs us of peace, does it not? And what about unexplainable problems? That when life doesn't seem fair. When it seems as if other people are getting what we hoped and prayed for, it doesn't seem fair. You know what that often does? Those things rob us of peace. And brethren, people respond to loss of peace in different ways. Some people just try harder to control everything. You know, if you're a person that just wants to control every situation in life, you want to control people, can I tell you, you won't have peace. Because God, listen, we live, this is God's world, it's not our world. And when we come to understand that we are not God and this is not our world, and when we submit to Him, we will have peace. Some people, they simply give up with a fatalistic attitude. They just, well, I'm done with life. I'm done with people. But that's not how God wants us to live. Others, they just live being controlled by their circumstances. But we gain peace, the peace of God, when we turn to the Lord in faith. We turn to Him. Brethren, as we trust in God's loving care and His wisdom for our lives, I want to tell you what we will have. We will have peace. There's been many things in my life that I don't understand. You have something like that in your life? That you just don't understand. Lord, why did you let this happen? Lord, why did this take place? And then we often go to the next stage. We're like, why did I do this? And why did I choose this? And if I'd chosen this differently, this wouldn't have happened. And you know what that does? That robs us of peace. But when we come to understand the sovereignty of an almighty God, and what does the sovereignty of God mean? That means that God knows all that we're going through. God's seen it beforehand, and we can trust that God is working all things together for our good. And brethren, when we come to believe that, in fact, that's why the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Have you gone through something before and you're like, I don't know why this happened, but God gives you peace? That's from the Lord. In fact, in a sense, reconciliation, meaning that we say to God, God, I'm not running from you. Lord, I'm not mad at you, because that's how some people live. Lord, I'm trusting you. You are doing well. You are doing good. You are fair. You are just. You are righteous. When we have that attitude, can I tell you, we have peace. It doesn't mean that we understand about our broken relationships. It doesn't mean that we understand about our health that has gone bad. It doesn't mean that we understand about our finances that are not the way we intended them to be. We don't understand all that, and maybe nothing has been resolved, but God gives us peace when we are reconciled to Him in faith. We say, Lord, I'm trusting you. You care for me. You have wisdom. As we surrender to God's plan and purpose. By the way, I believe this with all my heart. Some of the greatest reasons why you and I do not have peace with God is because we fight against God. We just don't want what God brought. I've told you this before, but my wife told me years ago, we were going through something, and I'll tell you, I was doing everything in my power to stop what was happening. I was trying to fight against God. Have you ever done that before? You're going to work it out. You're going to make it. No, I'm not letting this happen. I am going to fix this. Guess what? You won't have peace. I remember my wife looking at me one day and said, honey, yield to God. I didn't want to yield. I was going to make this right. I was going to fix this. I was going to keep this from happening. But when I surrendered, nothing, my circumstances did not change, but God gave me peace. So brethren, reconciliation, can I tell you, it begins with God. And reconciliation brings us peace. But thirdly and lastly, reconciliation belongs to the children of God. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, let's take our Bibles, go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I want you to see this because I believe this is important for us to understand. I talked to you about the peace with God, that's through Jesus Christ. I talked to you about the peace of God, that's what we have as children of God when we trust Him. But there's that third peace, that's the peace with others. And that brings us to the last point, that reconciliation belongs to the children of God. Now you say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Well, we're talking about the gift of reconciliation. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, God has gifted you that gift, not to be consumed by yourself, but to give to others. In fact, we're going to see here that the Bible has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Look what the Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? I mean, old things are passed away. It's now new. Verse 18 says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. We love that. But look what it says. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We find this word here four times in this passage of reconciliation. God reconciled you to Himself by giving His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. There is no other way that you can be reconciled with God but only through Jesus Christ. It's not through baptism. It is not through good deeds. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. It is not through your effort. It is by receiving God's Christmas gift of reconciliation. But now, can I tell you something? Reconciliation belongs to the children of God. Folks, any time that you attempt to restore a broken relationship, you're doing what God would do. God, in fact, what does the Bible say? Brethren, God has called us to be peacemakers. That's a part of reconciliation. It's not that we keep peace. Oh, it's easy to try to keep peace and we just don't talk to people when they hurt us. We don't deal with things as they need to be dealt with. I'm just keeping the peace. But you're not accepting the ministry of reconciliation. Now, can I tell you what reconciliation is not? Reconciliation is not trying to get everybody to come around to your way of thinking. That's how some people think reconciliation is. You need to think like me because I'm thinking right, and if you don't think like me, then you're wrong. That's not reconciliation. Now, God, we know that we must come around to God's way of thinking, but none of us are God here. So when we deal with the matter of reconciliation, folks, remember this, when you help bring other people together who have been estranged from one another, you are acting like Jesus Christ, because reconciliation begins with God. And God loves reconciliation. He gave His Son to reconcile the world unto Himself. By the way, I think that does away with Calvinism, does it not? He didn't just save some. Listen, He came into the world. Christ died for the world. He tasted death for some men, just the elect. No, for every man. The reconciliation is to the world. We have a choice. We can put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, or we can reject Jesus Christ. But folks, this ministry of reconciliation, He has given to us. Now, what does it mean to accept the ministry of reconciliation and to be a peacemaker? Well, folks, being a peacemaker is not avoiding conflict. In fact, it's not running from a problem or pretending that a problem doesn't exist. That's not a peacemaker. When someone says, I don't want to talk about it, they're not a peacemaker. Really, in a sense, They're not peacemaking. They're just backing away from dealing with conflict. Folks, conflict, we have to deal with it in order to have peace. In fact, do you know that God sees the conflict that we have? And guess what? He gave His only begotten Son. And God continues to work in our hearts to reconcile us. In fact, when you delay dealing with a conflict, it only grows larger and it grows deeper. But God's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Folks, by the way, peacemaking is not always giving in to people. It's not allowing people to get their way in our lives. That's nothing but passivity. Peacemaking is wanting to be right with God and right with one another. Now, I know the Bible tells us that as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. But I believe this with all my heart. To work for peace means that you are actively seeking to end conflicts. You are taking the initiative, as God did, to promote reconciliation when relationships have been broken down, and you offer forgiveness to those who have hurt you. Now, please don't misunderstand me this morning. Most people are reluctant to reconcile strained relationships because they don't know the difference between forgiveness and trust, or the difference between reconciliation and, remember this, resolution. Here's what I'm trying to say. Some think that if they reconcile, they have to return to some hurtful or dysfunctional relationship without any change taking place. That's not reconciliation. In fact, reconciliation is not the same as resolution. Reconciliation ends hostility, but it doesn't mean that you have resolved all the problems in that relationship. I can have reconciliation with someone even though all the problems have not been resolved. What it means is, before God, I am right. Before God, I'm not harboring bitterness or resentment. And before God, I'm not trying to get at that person. There's some relationships that may just not be able to be fixed and taken care of. Because you know what it takes in a relationship? It takes two people. It means that both of those people are right with God. Both of those people have surrendered and humbled themselves. And sometimes it only happens with one. So when we think about reconciliation, reconciliation focuses on the relationship while resolution focuses on the problems. And folks, there is a big difference between forgiveness and trust. I can forgive someone, but I may not trust them. For instance, what if someone robbed you? You should forgive them, but you're not going to trust them much. You're not going to trust them because they have not proven trustworthy. You know something about trust? You can lose it in a moment. I've been a pastor here at this church for 14 years now, and I will say this to you. I want your trust, but I have to earn that. I could lose it in a moment. Next Sunday, we will have the send-off fellowship. I don't say celebration because it's not a celebration to me, all right? I love the Stevensons, and I thank God for them. And he has been like a son to me, the best friend that I have in the ministry. And him and I are closer than anybody else in this church. And I tell you, but can I tell you, I trust him. But he earned that trust. We have fellowship together, but can I tell you, we've had to work at keeping that fellowship. Reconciliation is something that God begins in our heart, that we want to be right with one another. But brethren, let us understand something today. Our Savior has given to us this ministry of reconciliation. Yes, this is a ministry of telling people about Jesus Christ so they can be reconciled to their Creator. But it should be that in our homes and in our churches, you know what we are? We are peacemakers. We are people who say, I want there to be peace. I want us to have the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. I am grateful to know today that our Savior came to reconcile us. And this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, can I tell you something? God has already begun a work He has initiated a work of reconciliation. He wants you to be back into fellowship with your Creator God. And I'll tell you what that will bring. That will bring peace. But if you're a child of God here this morning, and you're out of fellowship with the Lord, God's working to bring you back into fellowship with Him. If there's no peace in your heart, and I'll tell you something, Jesus is the peace giver. And today, if you have aught against someone, can I encourage you to do what the Bible tells us? To forgive them. To forgive them. We understand that reconciliation is a part that we have no enmity in our heart with someone. We forgive them. Doesn't mean we trust, but it means that we have the right spirit. During the Revolutionary War, there was a pastor named Peter Miller. Pastor Miller lived in Pennsylvania, and he enjoyed even the friendship and the respect of George Washington. Quite an amazing story. But in that same town, there lived a man by the name of Michael Widman. Michael Widman was a troublemaker. He did everything he could do to oppose and to humiliate this Pastor Miller, even spitting upon him, disrespecting him, and even punching him to his own face. One day, Michael Widman was arrested for treason and sentenced to die. But Pastor Miller, what did he do? This enemy, this person who had done everything to hurt him, in some ways, in my heart, I'd be like, that guy got what was coming to him. But not Pastor Miller, because Pastor Miller traveled 50 miles on foot to Valley Forge to plead for the life of this so-called traitor. He came before George Washington, his friend, and he said, listen, this man is not a traitor. And George Washington said, no, Peter, I cannot grant you the life of your friend. Pastor Miller said, my friend? He's the most bitter enemy that I have, but I don't believe he is guilty of treason. George Washington cried out, what? You walked 50 miles to save the life of an enemy? That puts the matter in a different light. I'll grant your pardon and save his life. Peter Miller took Michael Widman back to the town in Pennsylvania, no longer an enemy, but now a friend. Can I tell you what that is? That is reconciliation. And that is what God has done for us. But listen to me, He's given you the ministry of reconciliation. We have this gift. What a precious gift it is. And if you have never accepted that gift today, I beg of you to accept the gift of God's own Son, the gift of reconciliation. But brethren, every child of God here today, you have that gift. Are we using that gift? Are we telling others about Jesus Christ so they can be reconciled to God? But did we ought against someone else? You say, preacher, what do I do? Do what God has put in your heart to do, to take the first step of reconciliation with them. May God help us today, the gift of reconciliation. Let's pray. Father,